In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A sower went out to sow his seed. His disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before Saul of Tarsus was converted, he was seething with bitterness and anger against the name of Jesus and the proclamation of the gospel of God's free grace in Christ. And then the Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Every foul and dastardly crime that Saul of Tarsus perpetrated against the church was a persecution of Jesus himself, for the church is his body. When he was led blind to Damascus, Ananias the disciple was sent to baptize him. "I have heard many things about this man, how he persecuted the church." And the Lord told Ananias, "Go, he is a chosen vessel of mine." A vessel carries precious commodities. "He is a chosen vessel of mine." The precious commodity that he would carry was the very gospel that he had tried to destroy. "Go, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before kings and before the Gentiles, and I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." That leads us to the epistle for this Sexagesima Sunday, where Paul specifically delineates those sufferings. It's quite a litany, isn't it? "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1, 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned, 3 I was shipwrecked, 1 night and 1 day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in parables in the city, in parables in the wilderness, in parables in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things." We should use that as an advertisement for the seminary. Yet the things that the Apostle Paul suffered, every one of them were a sign that he belonged to Christ, that he was called as a minister of the gospel. Every one of them testified to him of the faithfulness of the Word of God. Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God means everything for us as Christians. It means everything for the church. It is that which the Apostle Paul was called to bear witness to. Because faith in Christ is a miracle of the word. It's fascinating. The Lord Jesus simply appeared to Saul of Tarsus. "Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Go, you are a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name." That's a word of grace. The first lesson of this parable is that faith in Christ is a miracle of God's word. How do you transform someone who had been such a bitter enemy of the Lord Jesus into the foremost herald of the gospel? It happens in no other way but by the power of the grace of God, proclaimed in the Word of God. You and I cannot create faith, just as we cannot create life. Both are God's work. The creation of faith and the creation of life, it is all a miracle of the grace of God proclaimed in the gospel of Christ. The creation of faith is born of God's love proclaimed by the word of the gospel. And God's love is seen in what this ridiculous sower does, the unthinkable. He scatters seed all over the place among the rocks, in the weeds, in the good soil, as well as the cultivated soil. If he works for me, I fire him. He's wasted 75% of the soil, of the seed. The first lesson of the parable of the sower and the seed is that Jesus, through his word, is the source of the miracle of faith. It is true of Saul of Tarsus, and it is true for each one of us. We cannot make ourselves good soil, noble ground. Only Jesus can do that. You see, part of the mystery which Jesus was speaking to the disciples about is that the Word of God not only creates faith, but it is the Word of God, if you will, that tills the soil of the human heart, fertilizes that soil, aerates that soil, and causes that soil to bring forth fruit. This is why preaching and catechesis and Bible study and meditation upon the Word of God as you learn by heart, catechism and scripture and the hymnody of the church is so very important. It is the work and power of God's word contained in every utterance of God's word that brings forth the miracles of faith. So Jesus tells us this parable of the sower and the seed, not only to highlight the miracle of faith that is created by the word, but also what the enemies of faith are. The enemies of faith are the enemies of the word. The enemies of the word are the enemies of faith. So the second lesson of the parable is that these enemies seek to destroy the very word of God, the very faith that the word of God creates. The devil is an enemy of faith in Christ. That ought to come as no surprise to us. And yet when Satan attacks us, we think it a strange thing. For the Apostle Paul, undergoing those attacks upon him as an apostle, drove home to him that he was called to suffer according to the word of God for the sake of him who suffered and whose suffering brought about salvation. And so Paul's sufferings testify to the truthfulness of God's word. From the time of Satan's fall from heaven, Satan has been attacking God's word. Did God really say? With lies and deceit and false promises and accusations against God and against us, you call yourself a Christian? I wonder how many times Paul heard that accusation. Look at what you did to Christians. Look at the persecution you forced them to endure. We need to know this. But the antidote against the devil's attacks, again, this is part of the paradox, the mystery. It is the very good news itself. The word of God that Satan attacks is the very weapon by which Satan's attacks are thwarted. And then there's apathy toward God's word. Where does that come from? It is the nature of your sinful flesh. Because in the sinful flesh, there's no natural desire to receive God's word, to listen to it, there's only rebellion and a coldness and a hardness of heart in our flesh. And so, the seed that fell among the rocks is the seed that falls into the sinful heart. Faith sprouts and grows by the word, but it has no root. It receives the gospel with joy, but it does not continue to hear and receive the word because the sinful flesh chokes out the word. Jesus teaches us that apathy toward God's word is the very nature of our flesh, and we need to know it. How often was Saul of Tarsus, as the Apostle Paul, fatigued by those things that he suffered? And yet, by the grace of God, which he says was sufficient for him in his weakness, a grace communicated to him by the word, as it is communicated to you by the word, he was carried along and remained steadfast. The good news is that the very word of the gospel that creates the joy of salvation is also the same word that creates a hunger and a thirst for Christ proclaimed in the gospel. Finally, the cares, riches, and pleasures of life threaten to choke the word. Jesus teaches us very gently that the seed of the word is not sown into our hearts to give us physical health or wealth or prosperity. Certainly the Apostle Paul came to know and understand that. Nor do we receive the word of God in order that we might satisfy the appetites of our flesh. These are the thorns. Rather, the sole purpose of the seed of the word is to give us Christ. And giving us Christ to restore life with God in Jesus and from Jesus and through Jesus. So the sower, Jesus, who sows the word, sows that which gives us himself, that we might know him, be comforted by him, and love him. This is what the seed of the word is all about. And from Jesus' word of the gospel, good and mature fruit of faith are produced, which is nothing less than Christ himself in us, love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. But it all depends upon the word. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we think about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, a bitter enemy of the word of the gospel and of our Lord Jesus, we learn something about the proclamation of the word. When our Lord speaks the word of the gospel to us, it is a gentle word of grace. It is not a coercive word. The Lord Jesus does not force himself upon us. It is a word he speaks to us when we are troubled by our sins, when we feel the pangs of a guilty conscience, and have our hearts cut open wide with the knowledge of our sin. And so Ananias, perhaps trembling to some degree, entered that home while blind Saul lay there. And he addressed him, "Brother Saul." What a miracle of grace. And then he laid his hands on Saul. And something like scales fell from his eyes as he received the Lord's absolution and was baptized. Jesus speaks a gentle word. He speaks his word of forgiveness. And by the speaking of his word, he gives us himself. And he declares foul sinners like Saul righteous. And he binds up our wounds, and he gives us comfort and strength that we can find nowhere else. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.